From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. I'm Philip Graham. At the top of the news, Daniel Zuckerman is reporting for the Columbia Green Media that work on the Jefferson Heights sewer project is expected to be finished this month. Once construction has ended, an indefinite period of testing will begin. Delaware engineering designer Travis Smigel said recently the ongoing sewer mains testing will be conducted by the contractor. Catskill Town Supervisor Doreen Davis said, and I quote, "This will go through rigorous testing before we go live with folks actually connecting their laterals. We want to make sure we get it right, wrapped up as quickly as we can," end quote. Residents in the district will begin the connection process once the contractor gives the go-ahead. The project necessitated the installation of 9 miles of pipe and the replacement of sewers on side streets in Jefferson Heights and Leeds, as well as the full length of Main Street in Leeds and Route 23B in Jefferson Heights. The restoration of private property around the construction is currently underway, but it could be delayed because of recent rainy weather. The total cost of the project is just over $12.5 million. The estimated cost for individual property owners is between $800 and $900 per year. You can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper that the town of Kinderhook is once again looking for a web designer to upgrade its website. The Kinderhook Town Board okayed the issuance of a new request for proposals last week. The board agreed in April to award the contract to Wisconsin-based Town Web Designs, but negotiations fell through over payments. Former board member Peter Bajano said the company wanted the town to pay upfront costs, which Bajano said was not permissible under state rules. The plan was to have a new vendor hired by September. A community member asked during the public comment period if the board planned to post the RFP on the town's existing website. Bajano said contract information would be provided on the site so that people could pick up a copy of the RFP in person. But he said that the document was, and I quote, voluminous, end quote, and there would be addenda. He said the town would also like to know who is looking at the RFP. The only way to keep track of that would be to have the public contact the office. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Matthew Hamilton is reporting in the Times Union that the State Education Department on Monday, July the 17th, released a revised school accountability proposal. The plan lays out the state's intention to use out-of-school suspensions as a measure of school quality and student success beginning in 2018-19 school year, to decrease math and English language arts testing requirements from 3 days to 2 for students in grades 3 through 8, and to revise benchmarks for schools educating English language learners. The proposal also revised to more explicitly spell out concerns about the implementation of the new state law that raises the age of criminal responsibility from 16 to 18 and the resulting impact on educational services as minors transition from incarceration. The plan is scheduled to be adopted in September. You can read that full story in the Times Union. James Nanny reports in the Times Herald Record that two Democrats running for the congressional seat currently held by John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, raised more than the incumbent in the last quarter filing period. Greene County Democrat Antonio Delgado of Dutchess County raised $350,950.21 from April 1st to June the 30th and now has $590,319.30 in his campaign account. Brian Flynn, 47, of Hunter, raised $573,680.77 during the second quarter, but most of that came from $500,000 Flynn loaned his own campaign. Faso raised $337,096.16, more than the $276,105.58 he raised in the first quarter. Faso spent $110,908.75 during the second quarter, with a $495,875.08 campaign balance, according to the Federal Election Commission records. Patrick Ryan raised $213,291.60 and has $205,416.93 on hand. Gareth Rhodes of Ulster County raised $134,962.78 with $125,258.76 in his campaign coffers. Sue Sullivan of Ulster County raised $54,519.77 in the quarter and has $39,882.24 in her account. Stephen Bryce of Ulster County raised $6,494.25 with $1,093.01 in his account. Jeffrey Beals of Ulster County has no report filed on FEC website. Dave Clegg of Ulster County filed to run for office after the federal deadline. Chris McKenna reports at the fray about state representatives' campaign fundraising in April-June filing period. State Senator James Stewart, the Republican of Milford, raised $162,983 during the spring and spent $65,800, keeping on hand $376,330. State Senator George Amador, the Republican of Rotterdam, raised $92,881 and spent $37,520 with $92,298 on hand. Assemblyperson Peter Lopez, the Republican of Schoharie, raised $10,540 from April to June and spent $12,940 with $9,065 in his campaign account. And Assemblymember Dee Dee Barrett from the 106th District raised $10,365.35 and spent $16,114.41 with $26,644.68 in her account. You can read that full story at the fray. Rick Carlin reports in Capital Confidential that New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, leading a coalition of 16 attorneys general, filed a new amicus brief on July 17th in the Hawaii travel ban case, opposing the Trump administration's application to stay last week's district court order that the ban should not prevent grandparents and other close relatives of United States residents from entering the country. Attorney General Eric Schneiderman said, and I quote, "Grandparents, our family, and the courts agreed. Attorneys General will continue to do what it takes to protect those we serve and ensure that families are not torn apart by President Trump's unconstitutional, unlawful, and un-American ban," end quote. You can read that full story in Capital Confidential. Finally, Clear Use reports in the Albany Times-Union that two Saratoga County residents have been hospitalized for the rare tick-borne Powassan virus, and one has died. A third person may be infected, according to the State Health Department. Before this year, only 24 cases of the virus had been reported in New York since 2000, with five deaths. Ticks are being collected and tested for Lyme disease, babesiosis, anaplasmosis, and Powassan virus, with results expected by mid-August. Powassan virus can infect a person within 15 minutes of a tick bite, and 15% of those infected die. You can read that full story in the Albany Times-Union. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting patchy fog before 9 a.m. today. Otherwise, it will be sunny with the temperature high near 89 degrees. But Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 65. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 88 degrees. Thursday night, isolated showers after 2 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 65. And on Friday, isolated showers before 2 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 87 degrees. Friday night, a chance of showers after 8 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 66. Sunrise today was at 5:34 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:27 p.m. That will give us 14 hours and 53 minutes of daylight, about 1.5 minutes less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Wednesday, the 19th day of July 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.